Let me ask you a question since we were listening to it. Do you believe you are one? Let's stand one more time. I'm going to ask that again in English because I don't know how to say it in Spanish, Sister Marilyn. Maybe I should have you say it or Sister Erica one. No matter what I've been through, I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. Where there's neither no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I am a child of the King. Would you say that tonight with your hands lifted up? I am a child of the King. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let your soul believe that before we open up the Word of God tonight. I am a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. No matter what the accuser of the brethren says, I'm a child of God. Holy Ghost filled. Jesus' name baptized. Walking in righteousness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Do you love Him? I can't tell you, looking back over my life, as Sister Gloria sings, how many times I wish I had acknowledged that prior to the preaching without all the things that was going on during those times, because I tried to listen to the preaching. I tried to feel good about the church service, but I felt so bad. I really didn't get much out of it. But it would have been nice had I just reached a moment of just saying, you know, I'm a child of God. It would have cleared the air. You know what I mean? It's nice to hear the word with your head clear and your heart clear. And it makes a big difference. And it makes it easier for the preacher to reach you. If you have your Bibles tonight, Matthew 5. I know I'm starting a little bit early, but I just wanted to kind of get right into this and give some time for prayer afterwards and calling on the Lord. And because there's an important message that I'd like to try to share with you tonight. And I'm leaning on the help of God to be able to say it just right. Because only He knows how to say it. When you're preaching to multiple people, you have multiple sets of ears, and everybody hears differently, understands differently, feels differently. Many times when we're hearing the preaching, we are hearing based upon how we are feeling. And that's just human nature. Because feeling sometimes interprets what's being said. God loves you, but if you had a bad day, He sort of does. But that's not what the word says. Say, God loves you. Praise the Lord. It's your emotional whirlwind and wall that's interpreting it and sort of screening what's being said and changing it. He did love me yesterday when I felt good towards Him, but today I don't feel good towards Him, so today He doesn't quite love me. It don't work that way. You work that way. He don't work that way. Amen. He's not bipolar, and He doesn't change like New England weather. God is spirit. God is love. God is light. And that's why we're still here, is because He is. Isn't that right? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, here you go. I know you're standing, but thought I'd wake you up a minute, and myself included. Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let me read that one more time. Ye, in the King James, are the light of the world. And sometimes the word ye is pluralized. He's looking and saying ye, right? Just like you would in English. So sometimes we have to make sure that we don't overcomplicate it and not like King James, because sometimes in the interpretation from Aramaic writings and Greek writings and Latin writings, there is a collective word, and sometimes ye has multiple meanings like some of our English words do. And ye, He's addressing people. He's addressing who He's writing to. Matthew knows He's not writing to just one person. He's saying collectively, the church of the living God, which there was only one church, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. He was talking to one people. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Praise God. Lord, help us tonight in the reading of the word and in the ministering of the word and the hearing of the word in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Let's go to Matthew 25. I wanted to read that as some would like to call it, a scriptural text. You know, I don't like to get that formal. I don't mind writing out Bible studies and stuff, but I don't always follow it. Sometimes we need to because there's a lot to be said, so I'm not downing on notes, but sometimes what they refer to as key verses are the overall idea of what you're trying to say. And with that verse of scripture in Matthew 5 and 14, you are the light of the world. I want you to think about what it means as we read this particular passage of scripture. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. He's teaching a parable. So he's putting something spiritual into something natural in order to teach a lesson, very simply. And the word virgins here represents pure, unadulterated, untouched by the world. And that's what he's talking about here. And which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So the kingdom of heaven and of course he's been saying a bunch of things prior to it that are leading up to it. Like in verse 44 of the previous chapter. Therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So that's kind of what he's been saying at this point, and he leads up to this verse. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. When they get taken unaware, when he shows up unexpectedly, when he doesn't get a hold of your smartphone and call you first and say, hey, I'm arriving to end this whole thing in 10 minutes. It's just not going to work that way. He's going to overtake everybody like a thief in the night. So five of them were foolish and five were wise. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, which trimming of the lamp is reference to cleaning the wick, so that a fresh flame can burn. So they were in this expression, trimming their lamps and making it so that nothing would interfere with the lighting of the lamp. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Reminds me of Genesis, where the ark was ready, and the Lord told Noah and his family, get in the ark, and the Lord shut them in. 7 days they were in there before the rain fell, but the Lord shut them in. The door was shut. John 10:9, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So Jesus is the door that he has opened, and he's a door that he will close. So while the time is that he is open for us to enter in and find rest for our soul and light for our soul, we need to enter in. Praise God. Because there will come a time when we won't have that possibility anymore. It'll be done. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I'll read this verse one more time because he's summing up what he's saying and what he's reaching for. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Praise God. God's so good, isn't he? I appreciate the presence of God. I thank God for the Spirit of truth. I thank God for how God can talk to us if we're willing to listen. I want him to talk to me even if I don't get a clue of what he's saying. You may not want to hear a professor in a college when you don't understand, especially when you don't understand a word he's saying. He's talking way over your head. I had a high school teacher like that in physics, and that man talked like he was on a mountaintop somewhere, and the only one there that could understand him was himself. I don't want to listen to people like that. Condescend a little bit. Understand that the people you're teaching did not go to college. We do not have a bachelor's degree or a master's degree. We didn't spend all of our time studying molecules and Newton's laws and all this other stuff, and half of us don't care. I'm glad you like F equals MA, but I could care less. But if you're going to get me to like it, then find a way to communicate. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. So we're here learning this lesson today, and I thank God that the Lord wants us to learn. And he's not teaching to try to be complicated, but he's teaching in a way where at the same time he's fishing. And he's fishing for people who are hungry to know. Have you ever been to school or somewhere where you were, you've gone to school or you were reading a book and there was something you were hungry to know and you were digging into and you couldn't put the book down, page after page after page, or what they were teaching, you just wanted more and you wanted more and you wanted more. Because what? It was feeding you, it was communicating with you, it was getting through. The Lord wants to get through if you will allow him to get through to you. Never approach ever a topic as if you know it all. I've learned that over the years. No matter how much I've learned, I can learn more. I don't know enough. I'm still alive. I don't know enough. When I'm dead, there'll be no need for learning anymore. But while I'm alive, I want to stay a book with another empty page that can be written on by useful information. Amen. So my quest always is, as a teacher, to try to communicate, to try to break things down, not to be complicated. It's not that we can't be, but I'm not speaking to doctors and lawyers. And even then, I still wouldn't speak above an eighth grade educational level. I used to write at an eighth grade level when I did freelance writing and ghostwriting. I worked for a company out of Atlanta, Georgia, and they would assign me books that needed to be written. They would split the price of the book with me in order to write the book. Sometimes there were 50-page books, 60-page, or 80-page books, and we would write them, and I would break it down. And many times he would come back and say that the customer was so happy and so easy to read. And so I was happy to hear that because I knew I was taking a chance at speaking really second person, in second person, as if I was talking to one-on-one. And put it in a tone that was simple, but as if when somebody picked the book up to read it who needed this particular topic, they felt like the author was talking to them and singling them out and letting them feel important, like, you're the reason why I wrote this book. And we really need to feel that. When we pick up the Word of God, it was written because he really wants to reach us, and he wants you to feel like this book is for me. That's why after the song that was playing at the offering, I just wanted you to say it. I'm a child of the King. Because everything in this book, especially the 27 epistles, I mean, it's all of them from the beginning of time until now. He did everything to make us children of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we need to be ready. And this is what he's teaching. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So this whole parable, this section of his conversation about the 10 virgins and the lamps was about watch. Pay attention. We read the key verse here tonight that we are lights of the world, but did you notice that if we don't have any oil, we can't be a light? We need oil to be a light. If we have no oil, we're not shining. I don't need the gift of the Holy Ghost just to be a light to somebody else. I need the promise of the Father in order to become one of the Father's kids. So that I can say, now I'm one of those sons of God. Because that's what the Holy Ghost causes us to become. Children of the Most High God. But we also know that the Holy Ghost is the oil. Amen. It is that light. I cannot be a light if I do not have the light in my soul. Jesus said in John 8 and 12, I believe it is, I am the light of the world. Praise God. And we are lights of that light. Glory to God. Lights that he wants to continually burn with oil in our lamps. Praise God. We can look the part of being Pentecostal, but we can die lost just like the sinner that's never known God. It's not about looking the part, and it's not just about knowing the part. It's about having that light. It's about being it. Glory to God. I don't want to know just only about Jesus' name baptism, but I want to be baptized in his name, and then I want to stay baptized in his name. I want to stay washed. I want my sins to stay remitted. Praise God. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. I don't want to just say I repented one time. I want to be a repented and baptized child of God. That means I want to be dead to the world. Hallelujah. And the world dead to me by the cross. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean I'm sitting there every day saying, oh, I'm a loser. I'm so sorry. It just means that I'm going to watch my soul. I'm going to watch and pray. I'm going to mark my tongue. I'm going to mark my spirit. I'm going to make sure I've got fresh oil, praise God. I'm going to make sure it hasn't been sitting there so long that the dead flies are starting to stink it. As written in the Word of God, dead flies stink at the apothecary. It wasn't just about in that lamp that was in the holy place under the first temple worship. And the first covenant with Moses and the Ten Commandments, it wasn't just two tables of stone with Ten Commandments that say you shouldn't do this and that and the other. It was a whole order of worship, and there was a temple, a tabernacle in the wilderness, and there was furniture, and there was service, and there was priests that God had established of the Levite tribe. And so there was all sorts of reasons for everything that was happening. And one of the items in the what they called the holy place in that temple was a lamp, and it was made from olive oil beaten for the light so that it would burn continually. And they were to change it evening, morning and evening so that it would never go out. And that's why you read in 1 Samuel that before the lamp of God went out, God called Samuel. Why? Because he wanted to make sure he was calling somebody who would make sure the oil kept burning. Praise the Lord. Look, you don't have to worry about whether the church is going to continue. God knows how to keep the lights on. Glory to God. No matter how much the devil wants to put them out. No matter how many carnal people come, how many carnal people go, how many people whose eyes get dim and they stop obeying God, it doesn't matter. God knows how to keep the light in the church going. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we're reading here. I hope I'm making sense to you tonight. We're reading here something, and the impression that I'm feeling so strongly tonight is oil. Please don't ever be in a church service in a church like this for any long period of time if you can help yourself and not be filled with the baptism of the Spirit of God. Any of the basic fundamentals of the salvation that Jesus has come to bring, make sure that you're not missing any of it. So he's teaching a lesson here about foolishness and wisdom. And he's saying that the kingdom of heaven is like to 10 virgins which took their lamps. 5 were smart, 5 were dumb. 21st century language. The wise took oil in their lamps. The foolish didn't. Please understand something. Every promise that Jesus has ever made will come to pass. None of us have time to slack. If God is not slack concerning his promise, why should we be slack concerning the promise he's given us? The Holy Ghost is a promise. Not only is it a promise to cause us to become children of God in this life, it is a promise that's supposed to take us from this life to that which is to come. And if he's not slack in anything that he has ever said or done, then we need to learn the lesson from our daddy not to be slack, especially in his business. Now, we shouldn't be slack in any area of our lives, because if we are, it's not going to bode well with us. It's just not a good principle to be lazy, a sluggard, right? Slack, be a procrastinator. That helps none of us in everyday natural things. But most importantly, it does not help us in spiritual things. No, it's not good to stop praying and lead a shallow, prayerful life. No, it's not good to miss church here and there and everywhere. No, it's not good to back up. Because when you back up, you're going to get left out. You're going to wake up to a surprise that's going to hit you so fast that you'll have no chance to recuperate yourself. To know that he's coming as a thief in the night. To know, according to the word of God, that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. Lets us know we don't have a whole lot of time when he decides it's over. However, in his way of saying it is. Amen. I just need to know that no matter what day, that's the point of it all. It doesn't matter what day. It doesn't matter what hour he comes. I've got to have oil in my lamp. Yes. Then it won't matter. Praise the Lord. That day will not overcome us and overtake us as a thief. Why? Because we're watching and we're praying and we're seeking and we're living for God. Oh, heaven, help us tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's just love him a bit. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. John chapter 3. Praise God. John 3. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Good to have you with us, Brother Bearden. We'll be praying for you here in a moment. Remember, this is a picture of something he's teaching us. More so now, after we've all been converted. And if you haven't, then you're going to have an opportunity here to at least be filled with the Holy Ghost if you haven't yet. And if you haven't been baptized, we can schedule that. But he's teaching a lesson about readiness. I mean, we could talk about watchfulness and readiness and making it a plain message, really. A lamp isn't any good if it doesn't have oil in it. We're talking about the lamps that they had, especially in their day, where you have one of those genie-looking lamps, you know, as far as the shape of some of their simple lamps back in the day, with that oil and in the temple, it was mixed also as well with an apothecary mixture, God's formula. So not only was it brightening in the only light in the holy place, but it smelled good. Praise God. We need to shine and smell good. Side note, we need to smell good. We need to, the aroma of righteousness needs to come from us. The smell of peace needs to come from us. The smell of hope needs to come from us. There should never be a light and a dagger. Amen. We're the only ones with the truth. And we go and hack everybody who don't have it. No, that's not what God's calling for. Our light should shine so bright and should smell so nice that it attracts every religion under the sun and every sinner under the sun that has no religion. Praise God. That doesn't have a good smell in their life. God knows how to attract unto himself, amen, and unto others. Praise the Lord. But as the altar of incense burned before the Lord and represented the prayers of the people, it also had spices and things poured upon that fire. And so when that smoke ascended, it was a sweet savor. And that's why the apostles, in talking about that from the on a spiritual level, said that we are offering up the sacrifices of joy, coming from joy. Sacrifices of joy can only come from that oil that we possess inside. Remember that oil of joy, praise God, for morning. Hallelujah. That we've got the Holy Ghost in our life. And when we got the Holy Ghost in our life, we're able to worship God in a way that's beyond what we've ever tried to do without it. Hallelujah. There won't be bitterness coming because life's not going your way, but instead a sacrifice of joy. Praise God. I trust Him. I love Him. Had a bad day, but I love Him. Amen. And I've got joy unspeakable, and I've got it full of glory. Hallelujah. I've got oil in my lamp, even if everything falls apart and nothing's going right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? And when life wants to press our buttons, praise God, what it gets is the apothecary and the light. It gets a shining bright light that we don't put under a bushel. Stop retreating. If you got oil in your soul, you're loving God with all your heart, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God, hallelujah. Then Jesus is saying, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. What is he saying? I want you on a hill. I put you on a hill. I lighted you to show you. Praise the Lord. I lighted you to bring light into darkness. So stop letting the darkness irritate your soul and put yourself up there on the pedestal where you can brighten the room around you. Glory. Oh, glory. That's the truth. I'm preaching truth to you tonight. We've got to be reminded by natural things that light is greater than the darkness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, help me. John 3, I got to hurry here. Just take the oil with you. Amen. Fear God and keep his commandments. Bottom line of your whole life, ultimately for yourself, is make sure you're walking with God. I don't care how much you want to reach for everybody. I want to reach for the whole world. Well, that's wonderful. But if you're not reached, you're not going to reach. Please understand that. If you have no light, you have nothing to share. Praise God. Get some light in your soul. Get your soul established in the kingdom of God before you want to go off to China somewhere, start a church and a missionary work. Make sure you have been missionaried. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. John 3. I want to read something Jesus said to Nicodemus because it's the truth. And even if you don't understand a whole lot of things, please understand that this is Jesus doing the talking and not a religious group talking. This is the word of the Messiah. Verse 7 of John chapter 3, saying to Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. So Jesus was telling him in verse 3 and 5, you must be born again. We know that you're a teacher come from God. And Jesus just said, except the man be born again, he cannot see. Except the man be born again of the Spirit, he cannot see or enter. A lot to be said on that, verse 5. Except the man be born of water and the Spirit. Some have a hard time with that, and some issues are not worth making. I'm just going to say this. We're born once, but we got to be born twice. If we're going to make it to glory, we have to be born again. Through repentance and water baptism in Jesus' name and the receiving of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And this is enough for you to get going with. See, don't try to fix your life. Don't try to analyze your life. Don't try to recomplicate your life. See, some things don't need to be reviewed. You ever review things? You know, you know what repentance is? It's a quick review. I'm a loser, and I need God. Okay, there you go. And with godly sorrow, cry out to the Lord. Talk to the Lord in the way that you would. That Jesus, I'm so done being a sinner and separate from God. I want God in my life. Repentance comes when God has made us sorry for our sins. Not the preachers made you sorry. God has. Your sorrow is not towards anybody in the church. It's not to anybody else, although you might have a sorrowness in your soul for things you might have said or done. But the sorriness of you just being a part of the Adamic race, full of sin, born in and shapen in iniquity and disobedience to God, and you've done, if you've lived long enough, you've done plenty of disobedient things. Amen? I'll stop spitting here. Right? So I turn from that because it deals with me and God, nobody else. I'm not trying to rule over your life and make you live for God the way I think you should. I don't waste my life trying to do that. I don't peek into your windows and try to figure out whether or not you're living this doctrine. And are they paying attention to what I'm telling them? And I'm not there trying to beat you over the head every day to say, you know better than that. Look, I don't have time for that. If you know better and you're not doing it, well, that's on you. If you want to sleep with no oil, that's your problem. If you want to slumber, when your God neither sleeps nor slumbers, I can't stop you. Or you can be one that says, no, I want oil on my lap. That's why I rise up early in the morning. Praise God. You get what I'm saying? Early will I seek you, David said. In the quiet of the morning, early will I seek you. I want to make sure my oil's fresh for the day. Oh, I'm telling you. Praise God. It makes such a difference in your soul. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Prayer keeps the flies away. So he said, you must be born again. So he's telling him, you must be born again. So this isn't a choice. Well, I don't believe in that born again stuff. Well, you need to. Yeah, but that's what the charismatics teach and all those whacked out Pentecostals. No, Jesus taught it. Before there was ever the word Pentecostal or apostolic ever invented. Before the word Christian ever came into existence. Jesus said, you must be born again, Nicodemus. No, you're not going to enter into your mother's womb the second time. You need to be born of the Spirit of God. I didn't know where the Spirit was coming from the night God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I wasn't trying to worry. I wasn't trying to think of where. I was just repenting. And then the wind blew. And then it physically blew a few minutes later for me as God just spoke to me when I wasn't sure about all that was happening. Oh, hallelujah. God did that for me. To let me know, I just filled you, buddy. And that's all I needed. I went from there to worshiping, speaking with tongues, and having a good old time. Hallelujah. Praise God. New to this little Catholic kid. But I'm saying what I was doing was what I needed to do. Then God did what he needed to do. Without me even realizing it was happening until it happened, and then I heard myself speaking with other tongues and giving glory to God. And then I stopped. I was like, whoa. Hallelujah. Sat in the prayer room of that old Grange Hall where we were having church. And I said, Lord, if this is you, let me know. And then not about 2 seconds later, a wind blew into the room. Now, it was January. The heat was on. The windows were closed. And there was two windows on this side, one on that side, adjacent from one another, and the curtains went up in unison. It just gushed in. Just like that, right after I said, Lord, if this is you, let me know. Praise God, as a little 14-year-old kid. This is where, and I turned my head, and they went straight up, gently, and straight down. And I yelled out, amen, and I took my carcass out of there. I ran out of there. Praise God. Kind of like walked out of the room. You all right? Yeah, I'm just fine. Because I didn't have any scriptural knowledge. I didn't, I wasn't into the Word of God. And I have all these verses say, yeah, it's the Holy Ghost, John this, and Acts this, and Luke that, and Psalm this and that. I didn't have none of that. The Lord just had a way of just saying, relax. I just filled you with some light. Hallelujah. I'm so glad for the light of the Lord, aren't you? Hallelujah. 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 So it's Jesus that teaches you must be born again. You must be. So settle in your soul. I need what he's saying. I must be born again by the Spirit of God, which they that believe on him should receive. And so we have those verses of scripture like in John chapter 1. Turn there for a quick moment. John chapter 1, verse 13, which were born. Well, let me go back. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. This power is the Holy Ghost. John's writing this post-Pentecost, years later, decades later. He's writing this epistle. And he said, to those that did receive him, both Jew and Gentile, he gave them power. Remember what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost part of the earth. And so it's that Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit of God is the light of God in you. And all he's saying is make sure you keep that gift that he's committed to you when he's talking about this parable and you look at your own life. The oil is the Spirit of God. And so we're staying renewed day by day. We're keeping that experience of God stirred up. Now, God don't leak out. So don't think that God dissipates over time and, man, you've been shining all week, so he's burning out, you know. I got to go to that prayer room and fill him back up. That's not quite what we're saying here. You get the idea physically, but please understand the point. Jesus don't diminish. You know, the Holy Ghost you don't show up to church half empty or full of the Holy Ghost. You either have it or you don't. Yeah, the emptiness is in our keeping our vessel, because in a sense we're the lamp. Praise God. And what we do to keep ourselves is that it's us. We're the ones who pray in the Spirit and live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. So keeping the oil, keeping your lamps full is about living for God. It's about making godly choices. It's about yielding yourself to God and continuing instant in prayer and keeping that worship and keeping your dedication to God as it should be and your, if you will, temple worship going forward with God and keeping your temple clean by making right choices to continue to please God. Because you should want to live for God, I hope. Nobody can make you live for God. You've got to want to. The Holy Ghost isn't beaten into you. The promise of God is a thing where you and I, we receive the gift. The Holy Spirit of God is a gift of God. It is not a mandate. Please understand, as strong as it is without it, Romans 8, 9, without the Spirit of Christ, you are not his. That's strong. Some don't understand that because, well, I accept Christ. Mwah, 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 I'm saved. Yeah, right. Well, the devil accepts Christ as being Christ, but he's not saved. No, I get what you're saying, but accepting him as the Lord doesn't save you. Being filled with the Spirit of the Lord does. And there's a difference. There's a difference when saying, I accept Jesus as my Savior, which is awesome. Because that represents a change of the heart. It represents a remorseful heart, a repented heart, a heart that says, I believe that what the Scripture says he is and what he did at Calvary for my sins, I believe that he is the Christ, that he is the Messiah. And that's what you need. Now, that may feel like salvation to some people because that's quite a change, especially when you've been a sinner and a nasty, whoremongerish heathen, to come to a place of being humble and I need God in my life. That's a change by itself, but it's not ultimately the change you need or that you're looking for, but it's part of it. It's when that repentance and that believing heart. Remember, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It's when we join that believing heart to the remedy for our soul is when salvation comes to us. And then after it, we're even taught to endure, to stir up the gift of God. Amen? And don't just think you've arrived and you've got it all. Hope that makes sense to you. So John 1:13, he came to his own, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They were born of God. He's saying these people were born of God by the Spirit of God. In John chapter 7, we read, let's just read this verse. I'm coming to a close because I want to give you a chance to pray, even if you don't know how to pray. I didn't really know how to pray. I said prayers. I said the Our Father so much it burned into my brain. Said the Hail Mary so many times, I'll never get over that, even if I wanted to. If she knew I was saying, if Mary was alive today and hear me say, Hail Mary, full of grace, God is with thee, she'd probably stop me and say, what? What are you saying? Hail Mary, full of grace? Yeah, I got the Holy Ghost. I got the grace of God in my life, but what's this hail business? Hail Mary, Mother of God. I'd love to hear a sermon from Sister Mary. Wow. Mother of who? What are you people teaching? John chapter 7. Everyone's still awake. In the last day, verse 37, John 7, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Praise God. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Living water, not spring water. Not Poland spring water, not living water. Water that will satisfy your soul, not necessarily your parched tongue. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he, right? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said. Now here's something I just want to mention. What the scripture says is right, and where we can be led astray is when we start believing not as the scripture says. So this is, there's two things to say here. As the scripture has said, because the scripture did promise that out of our life would flow rivers of living water, that God would open up a fountain in the house of David, which we are. We are the house of David. Let me say that in English. I can't say it in Spanish, sister. There's only two people I know that can speak Spanish, and they're sitting on this side. Praise God. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. So if I just stop right there, which they that believe on him should receive, that's Jesus is giving me something. Are you a believer? The eunuch answered Philip, right, and said, I'm a believer, after he preached to him Jesus, starting from Isaiah 53. And he said, well, here's water. What's stopping me from being baptized? He said, do you believe with all of your heart? He said, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And he said, okay, you may get baptized. That's how important baptism is. You want to make sure you're a believer, that you believe with all your whole heart. And then he took him down into the water, and he baptized him in Jesus' name. Believing is important. Praise God. It brings us to water baptism, and it also needs to bring, you need to allow it to bring you to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't let anybody explain it away. Don't listen. Look, I'm gonna get rude right now. If you're around any theologian that wants to explain away the baptism of the Holy Ghost as is in this Word of God, get your life away from them. Do not believe them. If they want to say you don't have to be baptized in Jesus' name, you are listening to a false teacher, a false prophet. They are not yet what they should be. Hallelujah. There's only one baptism that was ever recognized by the Lord Jesus and by the apostles as they carried it out, and that is water baptism by submersion in Jesus' name. Matthew 28:19 is a one God scripture that speaks one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, and that is the name of Jesus. The Father has a name. They knew that, praise God. That is not a Trinitarian scripture. There are no Trinitarian scriptures anywhere in the whole Word of God. God is not a Trinity. God is a spirit. God is not a man. God is not a person. God has one name, and the man Christ Jesus manifested the invisible Spirit of God and the name of the invisible God. I am come in my Father's name. Hallelujah. And the theologians want to discredit that, saying, no, he comes representing. No, he came manifesting the name of Jehovah. Hallelujah. Jehovah has become my salvation. Jehovah one God has become my salvation. Jehovah one God was manifest in the flesh. Jehovah one God was made flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Praise him, praise him, praise him. And he did it to save you and to fill your soul with oil. And to cause you to become a light in the world. Look, what we're preaching is not popular amongst many people because they're so wrapped up with a theory that started a couple hundred years after the apostles by some philosophical, non-Christian, not converted person that did not understand the word. And I'm saying that not just casting stones. I've read his writings and still read them. And I still hear the same confusion that was in us, Brother Bradley, as Catholics. I hear it's all birthed from one man who did not understand how God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. It takes revelation, not mental thinking. Hallelujah. It takes repentance and obedience and calling on Jesus' name for God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You don't manufacture it. You don't just cackle in your own tongue. That's something that comes from the Spirit of God. As the Spirit gives the utterance. I'm encouraging you tonight. God is saying, you need the oil in your lamp. Don't try to fix your life. Just get the oil. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The way you save yourself from this crooked generation that we live in, no matter how polluted it seemingly has become and rampant, you can rage all about it all you want to. You can get all political about it. Ha! Won't do you a bit of good. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, all you're doing is ranting and raving about a bunch of stuff that's really not important in the grand scheme of things. Let God fill you with the Holy Ghost. By calling on God, don't settle for anything less. If you have not spoken with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, yes, it's not the only thing about the Holy Ghost, but it comes with the Holy Ghost. It is that baby's cry. It is that speaking mysteries unto the Lord. It's how they knew. They knew they had received the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with other tongues and magnify the Lord. Don't pray for tongues, but just pray and say, God, I want this baptism of the Holy Ghost and everything that comes with it. And I'm not leaving this prayer room at home or in the church until I'm filled with the Spirit of the living God. He's saying you've got to have the oil if you're going to make it. The oil is your compass. Oh, hallelujah. The oil, look, the oil burns in the direction that you're going. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, help me tonight. Question is whether or not you want to be filled with it. It's no fun talking to people who think they know it all. Gone to school and read books, and that's too bad. I'm so sorry you went through all of that. If you're sitting here arguing with me, saying, no, God is this. No, we don't have to do that. I'm so sorry you wasted that money, that time, that energy, learning how to be an unbeliever. Learning how to disobey God. The serpent taught you. Because everything coming out of your mouth is, yea, has God said. And I'm here to say, God has said. And the day you eat, you die. Conversation's now over because I'm not eating because I don't want to die. And if we all want to be saved, we need to get into that ark with all those smelly animals and inside of a boat, as it's called, that may not have looked like a boat. It doesn't have to look pretty to man for it to be God. I know they make the boat pretty for movies. It's got to be. They can't make a box and make it look like it was slapped together with mud and boards and makeshift window at the top. But think about it. How do you look to the rest of the world that doesn't understand Jesus' name and the righteousness of God and that he's one God? I'm telling you, you'll stand out and you will rub the carcass of others wrong who think they've got it all figured out, who are sitting at home stewing because they don't agree with what I've said. Wasting all that time when they could be here worshiping God, softening up the fallow ground so that God could talk to them. Somebody's got to say God's not a three-headed deity. Hallelujah. There's no such thing as God the Father. Well, yeah, we could say God the Father, but in the way they say it, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, as if they're three separate individuals. It's not true. It's not biblical. Never has been. Which comes to this. Jesus taught the lesson, if you are a father and your children ask for bread, would you give them a stone? How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And that's the bottom line. Don't try to live this thing without the true Holy Ghost in your life. I'm telling you, with it, your prayer life will become so illuminated and animated. And your spirit edified in a way that could not be done by just listening to Christian music. Being in the church service where people say, I feel so good when I'm here. Wait till the Holy Spirit of God fills your life. Wait till that light and that oil comes in. You talk about you feel good now, you're going to feel super duper good then. Amen. And all he said was ask. If you ask, you'll receive. And I can't make you do anything, but I can just lead you to prayer. And if you allow the Lord to do what only the Lord can do. The Lord is good. How many know the Lord is good? Glory. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I believe he's good, but now I want to taste the goodness. And that's where the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes into play. You get to taste. If I could use the word tangible as much as I could use it for your soul's sake, it is a soul's tangible taste of the goodness of God. He doesn't want you just walking by smelling how good the church service is. The aroma is to attract you. Calvary and the resurrection don't smell bad. It smells good. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all unto me. He wasn't drawing all unto a decaying body. He was drawing all to a resurrected body. That smells awfully good. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Sister, can you play?